Amen. John chapter 5, and the word of the Lord says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Somebody say impotent. Of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season. Somebody say, it's my season. Into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there. Somebody say, that's me. Which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he wasn't lying. He wasn't a liar, but he was lying there. And knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But when, while I am coming, another step it down before me. Anybody ever been a day late and a dollar short? Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And a few hours later, the man was made whole. The next day, the man was made whole. And immediately, the man was made whole. Some of you are saying, what Bible is Pastor reading from? And took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And immediately, the man was made whole. I want to preach to you this morning. I'm going to preach on this topic, a lame situation. A lame situation. Amen. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Would you pray that we would be responders to the Word of God this morning? More than hearers. Just not, I don't want to listen. We want to respond. Would you do that? Would you lift your voices to the Lord? All around the sanctuary. Lifting your voices. Come on. Jesus. Jesus. Oh God, we come before you. We thank you. We love you. We pray that you would help us, God, to be responders. God, we don't want to take up space. We don't want to just breathe oxygen. We don't want to just listen. But we want to be responders, God. Help us respond, oh God. Help us to stir up the gift and the faith that is within us this morning, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, your will be done in this place this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. A lame situation. Now, I'm at that age now, Brother Robert. I'm over the 40 mark, and just a couple months, by the way. So I'm not way over 40. Just a few months, amen. But I remember in school back in the 90s. I remember in school, they would, Brother Perez, they would, some of my friends and myself even, we would say, man, that's lame. That's lame. Any of you from the 50s remember that? Did you ever use that? 60s, 70s, 80s? Well, just the 90s. Maybe that's just a 90s thing. Wow, okay. They would say, Rupert, it's just you and I here from the 90s. But they would say that's lame. That's just lame. And so this situation here this morning, we're not going to play on the word, because lame is necessarily, it's not a good thing. When you're lame, when you can't walk, you can't move, and you're paralyzed, or you're withered up, and you can't move around. I know a little bit about that. I was held up for about 4 weeks with my back, 3 weeks specifically, but this man had an infirmity for some time. And this scripture, when you read lame, it means crippled or physically disabled. It's impaired or weak, inadequate. It's defective. And this is a remarkable story in 17 verses that John writes. In fact, Jesus was in Jerusalem for a feast, and some would argue commentaries, it doesn't really matter, but it was the Feast of Tabernacles, but it was a feast, and inside the city, there near the sheep gate is the Pool of Bethesda. Bethesda, and it had five porches, and crowds of people who were sick and blind and lame and paralyzed and crippled would lay on these porches, and they'd wait in anticipation at the pool of Bethesda. Now, some of you have gone to Israel, maybe have seen a portion of this, and so you're able to see a little bit more clear picture and relate to this a little bit better. But they would come to the place that the scripture says a Bethesda. Bethesda, when you begin to break it down, break the word down, it's the place of kindness or the place of mercy. They would come to the pool of mercy. These lame, these halt, these withered, these paralyzed, these folks that had disease and infirmity, they would come to the place of mercy. They would come to the place of Bethesda. So they would lay there and wait, because the scripture says in John 5:4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. That's pretty awesome that whatever disease or paralyzed state you were in, whatever sickness you had, that you would be made whole, whoever it was. Now there's something about this picture and this story in the scripture, is because scattered all across these porches were folks that were in bad shape. These individuals were in a situation that they needed healing in their bodies. Yeah. They you would notice, if you would come to this place, you would notice that there would be blind people, as the scripture would say. There was sick people, paralyzed, halt. There was the withered. They hung out together on the porches. I don't know if they were separated by their sickness, or if all the blind people were together in one spot and all the crippled people in another spot, and all the deaf people in another spot, the lepers in another spot. It doesn't matter if they were isolated. I believe they were just wherever they can find a spot there at the house or the place of mercy, the pool of mercy. I don't believe they were segregated. That's just me. But they were there. They were gathered together. And you see these folks hung around together. And they would probably hear one another cry and moan and complain and whimper and in pain and agony and maybe fall and stumble around. Maybe they would see folks get healed, just people get healed because of the stirring of the water, and they would say, well, when is my time going to come? When is my miracle going to take place? And perhaps maybe today you've come to the house of God and you're wondering where your miracle is at. You see, these folks, some of them were probably pushed there, maybe carried there. Maybe they stayed there for a lot longer than they anticipated or wanted to stay there. Maybe some came daily. Maybe others came at particular times of the week. But they would come and they would wait for the stirring of the water. They would wait for that particular season. Perhaps it was a father that carried his crippled son to the porch. And on the way there, he would hope and pray that today, maybe today, that the water would be stirred and that his boy would be made whole. Or the lady that was bound by a sickness, or abandoned by her family or her husband and kids, and because of her physical condition, and she was told over and over again that we can't help you. We've got no money and we've got no insurance. There's no social services that can help you. You're beyond what man can do. We can call you or call us if you need help. We'll pray for you. But you need to get down to the pool of Bethesda, because it's the only thing that can help you. The place of mercy. And here we find in our scripture this morning about a man. The man. And I love these types of stories in the scripture, Mr. Coronado, is because it just says, and a man. It doesn't say his name. It doesn't give you much background about him. It just said, and a certain man was there. That's just what it says. And because this man was identified by his condition, he was identified by his injury or illness or his infirmity. The scripture says he had an infirmity. It was who he was. He was identified by that. In fact, how would you like to be identified by your condition? Yeah, some of you know where I'm going with that. You know, the lady that talks too much, the messy neighbor, the grouchy guy, the know-it-all, no looking around, or the sinner, a certain man. See, aren't you glad that Jesus isn't that way, that he doesn't just call us by who we were or what we're doing? Think about that. Because we're real good about that in today's time, right? You know, the chubby guy, the guy with the broke down car, the lady with the bad hairdo, right? The guy that doesn't bring anything to the potluck. We got names for people. But that it was not like that with the Lord. He doesn't call us for our sins. He calls us child. He calls us son. He calls us daughter. In fact, he calls us forgiven. Let me just preach right there for a moment. That ought to be reason for some of you to say, I'm getting up out of the situation that I'm in.
Right.
I'm not going to listen to what others are saying about me. I'm going to please and follow the one that gave his life for me, that shed his blood for me. Start stepping and moving on to what you used to be and start becoming who God is intending you to be. Somebody say, get up.
Get up.
See, God has a promise for each of us, but instead, sometimes we lay around in a paralyzed state of self. We lie around in a paralyzed state of self. The flesh.
Amen.
Not the devil, not the pastor, not your ex, not your finances. It's self. It's your self bondage. Self-inflicted bondage. And you allow that to perpetuate. And before you know it, you just start believing that you're paralyzed. When you're not paralyzed, you can walk. You can move. You can work. You start believing that there's no hope, but there is hope. You start believing that you're good for nothing, but that's a lie from the devil, because you are a child of God. God doesn't make any junk. It says he makes all things beautiful in his time. You may feel like the ugly duckling, but guess what? You're the original you. There's nobody else like you. Your fingerprint is unique. You're the only one that's like you in all the world. You got to get out of that mindset and say, you know what? He created me, and I'm made in the image of what my Heavenly Father has wanted me to be, and I'm going to fulfill my purpose. Stop living in this lame situation.
Yeah.
See, this scripture setting can be any one of us today. Because it's a man that had a need that only Jesus could meet. There's a lot of situations here this morning. But notice the adjectives that were used in this scripture setting. It says the impotent man, the feeble man, the man lacking power or ability. That means you're utterly unable to do something, lacking bodily strength or physically helpless. It's diseased. When you break that word impotent down, it's feeble, it's sick, it's made weak. This man is laying there at the pool of Bethesda, at the place of mercy, among the crowd of others that, in no doubt, are probably in the same or worse circumstance than he was. See, your situation is not unique. I know we like to, I'm unique. Well, you're not. Your situation, there's nothing new under the sun. Your situation is not so unique, nor is the Lord sitting up there and saying, wow, I've never seen this one before. I don't know. What am I going to? No, God's got it all figured out. Most of the time, he's waiting on us and say, I wonder what they're going to do. Are they going to lie there? Or are they going to get up when I tell them to get up? And are they going to give me praise and glory and honor like they should?
Right.
Or are you going to lay there in a lame situation? Think about that. This man is at a place of kindness or the place of mercy. This man had been, as the Bible had say, had an infirmity for 38 years. It's pretty serious. For 38 years to live in this condition. That's a long time. And we don't know how it started. We don't know if it got progressively worse or if he was born that way. You see, sometimes the issues that we face in our lives or are facing, the sickness and the problems and the finances and the relationship and the family situations, the job or the spiritual or emotional thing, they don't start crippling us right away.
Right.
You know, you say, this is just not so bad. You know, it's not something that a little overtime can't fix. You know, it's just a weekend frenzy, a spending spree. You know, if I hadn't have gotten an argument with the wife, I wouldn't have had to let her use the credit card to go down and buy whatever she wanted. And you know, I was already in bad enough trouble already. I said, what's an extra $300 on the credit card? You know, there's already a balance on there. You know, I didn't do anything that Pastor and Brother Jurassic taught me in February. And so, you know, I'm here in July. And say, well, just a little bit of overtime can fix that by before Christmas time, before I go and rack up the credit card again. That's a lame situation. You don't have to live your life that way.
No.
Well, I didn't get a couple amens from that. You know, it's not really crippling you yet. Or that one Sunday you miss, it's not so bad, but it's the disconnect that you feel. Then you miss a Wednesday, and then Thursday you don't pray, and Friday you don't pray, and Saturday something happens, and then your next door neighbor's friend's brother-in-law's cousin from your marriage 20 years ago is having a birthday party, and they may invite you, and you think, well, we gotta go to that, and so we've already missed three Sundays in a row, so we won't go, and before you know it, you're crippled in the sins that you got. God had given you victory over, and you're wondering, you're walking around and say, man, this is lame. How did I end up in this situation? And before you know it, it's 1 month and 2 months and 3 months. You say, man, we need revival. The church is having revival. What you need is to pray through. What you need to do is find an altar. What you need to do is get your Bible open and say, God, speak to me and minister to me, and I'm going to do whatever it is you're asking me to do, because I don't want to live in this state anymore. Think about it. It's just become a way of life for you. The isolation of the circumstances. Hey, you've been living it for so long that you become immune. Yeah. You become calloused. You found a way to cope with it, to numb it, because over time, that's just the way it is. For 38 years, this man's life was just the way it was. He was lame. He would go places, or maybe he had to have people that out of their benevolence would take care of him, and out of charity would help him. And maybe they carried him there. Maybe they laid him there every morning. Maybe they would drop him off the night before. Maybe he would go once a week, maybe once a month. Maybe he just stayed there. But for 38 years, he lived with this condition. He lived with it. It's a lame situation, no matter how you think about it.
Right.
And he's hanging around other people like him. They're all diseased. They're infirm. They're halt. They're withered. They're blind. They're impotent. Let me ask you, what kind of people are you hanging out with?
Right. That's right.
See, I found, you know, I've only been pastoring 3 years, but I found that. You end up finding people just like you. You don't have a badge on to say, you know, I'm the best salsa maker in the church. It just seems like all the salsa makers in the church hang out together. All the prayer people that like to pray hang out together. All the people that like to gossip go to another church together. Right? All the self-righteous people that like to judge one another, they go to a different church. Right? But all the people that were sick and infirmed and diseased and halt and withered and paralyzed, they hung out together. Not picking on. This is a beautiful story. But it was a lame situation. It's a real life. This is the real deal. It's a lame situation, Brother Robert. But for 38 years, you know what you could have done in 38 years? I started pastoring this church at 38. Look at me now. I threw my back out. Rosick said, think about it. 38 years. You could have done a lot in 38 years. Some of us are crying about stuff that happened 30 years ago. That's lame. Well, Paul said, I press toward the mark, forgetting those things which are behind. Come on, somebody. It's lame for 38 years. Sometimes you just got to get around folk. I've learned, and I do it. Just got to get around folk that are happy just because the sun is shining.
Yep.
So you know those kind of people. They're the morning people. Right? No matter where they are in the world. This morning, the sun is up. Whether it's Folgers, Pete's Coffee, Nespresso, whatever. They're happy. No cream, all cream. What? They're happy. Just, hey, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. We ought to be happy just because the sun is shining. That means I got brand new mercy. Lamentation says that his mercy, his compassion failed not. Then you get to come to the place of mercy. You get to come to the house of mercy on a Sunday morning. And you know what? Whether they're singing your song or not, whether your favorite preacher's preaching or not, I know I'm your favorite, but it doesn't matter what's taking place. You're at the house of mercy. You're in the place of mercy where God can do something for you, whatever it is. I wonder if this man was, he's at the Pool of Bethesda, and I wonder if what the conversations were like after the troubling of the water and that one person was healed.
Yeah.
I wonder what the conversations were. Oh man. I knew it. Knew it was going to be Brother Oozley.
Yeah.
Man. Why was it Sister Stephanie, she just got here. You ever been in the right place at the right time, but had no money? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You say, yeah, you're speaking my language now, Pastor. One person, particular season. I wonder what those conversations afterward were like. You know the conversations that those people that should be happy for you, shouldn't be happy for you, but they're not happy for you, Brother Ron, you know? They're just not happy for you. Should be happy that you got the Holy Ghost, that you got saved. Should be happy that you've been set free. You're trying to get your life on the straight and narrow. You're trying to get to heaven. It's a struggle, but man, the struggle's real, but God's good. You're just trying to get to heaven. You got that car. You got promoted. It's cool when you're single, right? You ever meet that one person? Everything's all fine and daddy, dandy. They're all happy. Ain't nobody's got a boyfriend. Everything's cool. But the moment that girl gets engaged, it's like, we're not talking to her. We're not talking to him. He got a promotion. He's got a job now. We're not talking to him. You know, he's got to get up in the morning, go to work. Hey, everything was cool when we were all down together. What about when we're all up together? Rejoice with them that rejoice. Some of you want a blessing? When you hear about you, if you hear just a little bit about somebody getting a blessing, man, you ought to be so excited and say, I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. To God be the glory. Why are you getting all excited for them? Well, first part is because I'm not a hater. The second thing is because the scripture says, rejoice with them that rejoice. The third one says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the fourth one is, because I want my blessing to come. And I want people to be happy when I get blessed. I don't want to live in these lame situations anymore. I want to be blessed. I want God to bless me like he's blessing my brother. Pool of Bethesda was a place of mercy or kindness for someone, but not for everyone. Imagine that. It was for someone, but not for everyone. I like what Acts 2:39 says. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
That's for everyone.
Amen.
God's mercy is for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then the scripture says, God did not come to the world to condemn the world, but through him that the world might be saved. That's for everyone. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is for everyone. God did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal salvation. That's for everyone. You got to remember that you are God's favorite. You are God's child. That God loves you. You are precious in the sight of God. The angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. That means he agitated the water. He stirred the water. Whoever then first, after troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole, whatsoever disease he had.
Yeah.
One person was going to get their miracle or blessing. And it was whoever was the first one to step in when the water was troubled. But they had to be first. They were in competition with one another. Imagine that. It's not no different than today. We're all competing with stuff that mean nothing when it's all said and done. Think about it. You see, a lot of times we surround ourselves with things that can be as detrimental to as whatever we're dealing with. How demoralizing was this, that one person was going to get their blessing or healing or miracle. One person. And you would, every day, would have to compete with somebody else, no matter their condition or sickness or illness or fault. You'd have to compete with them. Think about that. But think about the blessing we have today, that we don't have to compete with anybody to talk to Jesus, to pray, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be baptized. We don't have to compete with anybody for His time, for His mercy. We don't have to compete with anybody for His love. It's all a matter of our response to Him.
Amen.
Freely give, freely receive. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I'm coming for you. But yet we'll come church service after church service, Wednesday, Sunday, Thursday, whatever it is, Friday night, men's gathering, ladies gathering, Sunday school event. We'll come and God's presence is there. We're at the place of mercy and we won't respond. And yet we have no competition with anybody. What we're competing with is ourself.
Right.
That's a lame situation. And then we leave and say, well, man, if Pastor would have preached a little bit shorter, if he would have walked down my aisle and put his hand on my shoulder, man, maybe I would have moved. Maybe if Pastor would have shook my hand, if maybe they would have sang my favorite song, maybe if Brother Mario would have made some enchiladas for me, just maybe. You know what I'm saying? That's a lame situation. You're not in competition with anybody. You're not even in competition with the devil. And yet we're in the presence of the Lord and He's here and His glory's here and His power is here, and whatever we need, we can ask Him. You don't even have to be in a church service. You can be driving on your car. Most of you should have already talked to the Lord before you came to church. That way there can have been a preparation, a stirring of the water. Say, I don't know what pastor's preaching. I don't even know what they're going to sing, but I know there's going to be a stirring of the water, and I'm going to step in, and I'm going to be blessed. I'm not going to put my pinky toe in. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to make a big splash because I want to be blessed. I don't want to live in this lame situation anymore. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. I need a miracle. I need God to do something for my family, and I'm going to be a responder.
Yes.
Some of the problem you're facing with, have been facing for years, is not the situation. It's the detrimental cause of your attitude.
Yeah.
And the culture you've created for yourself. You're living in your own world. So, well, you're picking on me, Pastor. I just want you to get to heaven.
Yeah.
I want you to be saved. I want you to be set free. I want you to be healed. I want you to be delivered. I don't want you to be addicted. I don't want you to be bitter. I don't want you to be vindictive. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to be reserved in your relationship with the Lord. I don't want you to gain the whole world and lose out your salvation. I don't want you to lose your family. I don't want you to be on the side of the road because you knew too much, but you wouldn't respond. I don't want you to think that you've sinned too much and God's grace has ran out on you, where sin doth abound. grace does much more abound. I want us to get aside from the way and the mindset of, you know what, when it's my time and when they call me and they ask me or they drag me to the altar. Can I tell you, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Today's a great day to get the Holy Ghost. Now's a great day to be healed. Today's a perfect day to give your life to the Lord. Today's a wonderful day to get baptized. But today's a greater day just to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for His mercy and respond to the preaching and respond to the word of the Lord. How about, I can never be forgiven. I can never get the Holy Ghost. My sins are too many. I'm not worth it. I've never been addicted. I've got plenty of money. I've been in church 38 years. I don't need anybody's help. I got a word for you. Stop.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yep.
Get over yourself. Because
yep.
Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. You're not fooling anyone but yourself.
Yeah.
What you're facing is a lame situation. Get up. Get away from the woe is me mindset. The narcissistic relationship you have with God.
Yeah.
Get up and say, I'm going to respond to the word of God, whatever that word is.
Yeah.
Get away from the faithless people.
Yeah.
Get around some faithful people.
Amen.
Get away from the moaning and whining and complaining and surround yourself with some folks that are singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
You may be in a bad situation, but you could still have a song.
Amen.
You could still have a smile. You could still shout. You see, some of these folks laid around way too long. Sometimes we've laid around in our situation so long that we run out of excuses. We are the excuse.
Yeah.
Either you will or you won't.
That's right.
You ever tell somebody you're going to do something and then it doesn't happen. And so then you have this narrative already made up. Just in case somebody asks, if they say anything, you're just going to tell them, you got to meet up. And then they see him and they're like, hey, how did it go? Oh, well, you know, yeah, I didn't go. What? Well, yeah, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Bottom line, it didn't work out. Excuses, you know, or whatever it was. It's kind of like to have the elevator speech ready. You know, in the corporate world, they would teach us to say, have your elevator speech ready. You know, you never know who's going to walk in the elevator, or who you're going to bump into at the airport or at the rental car place. You know, just have it ready. Be ready to say who you are, where you're from. They kind of have some things they would teach us. And because you never know. You know what? I believe some of us need to have our elevator speech. We need to remember that I'm blessed.
Yep.
I'm forgiven.
Yep.
My life's not perfect, but I serve a perfect God.
Yep.
Come on, somebody. I'm filled with God's Spirit. I got the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
It's been a long battle and a long struggle. The last time I looked, I'm still on my way to heaven. I still got a church that loves me and a church that preaches truth and people that will pray for me. I don't got a lot of money, but what I got is God's anyways. He gives and He takes away. I may look lame to somebody else, but to God, I'm blessed and highly favored. And I got to take a look in the mirror and say sometime, self, you can and you will, because you serve a God that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that worketh in me. See, this man's situation, I'm trying to hurry, was so bad that even Jesus knew by looking at him that he'd been that way for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty bad. You could just look at some folks and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoo. A lot of tacos over time. For sure. You just know. Right? You just tell. But there was going to be one person at that particular time that was going to be healed. I wonder how many times, if he was there for 38 years laying there all this time, he probably saw 38 people that got ahead of him and got their blessing. Yeah. John 5:6, Jesus asked him one simple question. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? He asked him a question, and then the scripture says, notice, the impotent man in John 5:7, Sister Helen, the impotent man answered him, sir, he's respectful at least, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming and another step it down before me. You know? It's like being at the Costco shopping. So you see that one parking spot, you know, you're like, ooh, that's mine. And then this little dude just comes out of nowhere. It's like, pfft. It's like, what? That's what happens. Right when he gets in his mind to be like, I can do it. I'm going to get the water stirring. It's time to go. Somebody else is already in the water getting their blessing. Can I tell you? You don't have to wait. You can get your blessing, your miracle, your healing, your deliverance, the Holy Ghost today. You don't have to wait. The only thing holding you back is yourself. Don't live in that lame situation so long where you begin to think, well, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. It can happen. It will happen. You know, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you say, well, I'm feeling, well, maybe, hey, well, no, just come on down. If I was handing out a $1 million check with your name on it, you'd be fighting one another. Can I tell you? What I'm telling you and preaching to you and sharing with you is greater than what money can buy and will ever buy. It's eternity. It's eternity. It's a blessing. It's a free gift. Well, you see, I want to thrive with my walk with God.
Yeah.
I want to thrive in my relationship with the Lord. I want to come to church and I want to leave better than the way I came. We need to leave church better than the way we can. I approach every sermon, every Bible study, every Sunday morning, every time I preach, I approach it, I really, as if it's the last chance I get to preach to you folks. I do. And I'm not patting myself on the back. That's just the way my pastor instilled and banged it into my head. Said, you're going to get one shot. That's all you get. You may never get, you're not even guaranteed you're going to make it to your office after you're done preaching. And the same thing with them. They may not even make it to the parking lot. They'll fall over and something happened. The Lord take them home. I want to leave different and better when I get here. Hey, it may be convicting. It may be edifying. It may be challenging. It may ruffle your feathers. It may hurt. But if it's the truth, put the shoe on.
Yeah.
Tie those shoes on and wear them.
Yeah.
I want to thrive. A lot of us are living in lame situations. Let the Lord pull you out.
Amen.
Jesus asked him, will you be made whole? 38 years, and he asked him this one question. And it's as if Jesus didn't even really listen to what he had to say. Because he says, well, I don't have anybody when the water's moving to put me in. And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, walk. And immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. That's powerful. That is precedence that there's power in the Word.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The same was in the beginning. Come on, somebody. There was power in the Word. I'm not an eloquent speaker. There's way better speakers. This is not just something that I'm putting out there and say, well, I hope they like it and they chew on. No, this is the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired and God breathed. All His Word is anointed. You can have somebody that's not anointed take a look at the Word and read it, and those pages, those words on those pages would come off into their life. It's God's Spirit. It's the anointing. It's the Word of God. It's power. The Scripture says that you got blessed are they that hear the Word and they keep it. Come on, somebody. You want to be blessed? You got to hear the Word. You got to keep the Word. You got to respond the Word. The Scripture says in Isaiah 55:11, it says, but His Word doesn't go out and return void, but it accomplishes its intended purpose. When the Word goes out, it's looking for a responder to grab on and say, that Word is for me. That Word is mine. And there's plenty of that Word for all of us to grab a piece of it and say, that Word's for me too. I'm going to grab a piece of that. There's plenty there. There's plenty of mercy. There's plenty of love. There's plenty of His Holy Spirit. There's plenty of His grace in this place this morning. There's plenty of healing power and virtue here this morning that you don't have to live in your lame situation.
That's right.
Yeah. But we allow fear and insecurity and our comfort zone and bad past experiences in churches or denial to hinder us from responding from the Word of God.
Yeah.
We sit, we observe, we make a penance prayer, but we don't move. And we leave the same way that we came, and we're frustrated. We leave with the same trash and garbage, hang-ups, bondage, sickness, addiction, with no power, no authority, no repentance, no Holy Ghost, no joy, no anointing. That's lame.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. That's lame. He said, cast all your cares. Jesus said to him, rise, take up the bed and walk. He responded in faith to the word. The man did like Jesus instructed him to do. We need to be responsive to the word. The scripture tells us in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of the Lord is true. It's not fake. It's true. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's reason enough to respond to the word. In fact, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, or so beeth, unto the glory of God by us.
Amen.
If God has given you a prophetic word or a promise, or there's something you read in the scripture, you better hold on to that. You better latch onto it. You better keep it. You've been trying to live off the words of other people for so long. How's it working out for you? Why don't we start living according to the word of God? Just give it a shot. Just do it and see what it would do for you. It's time for us to rise up as the musicians come. It's time for us to get up out of our situation. The scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The scripture says in Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. That's powerful.
Yeah.
All his works are done in truth. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at your God.
Yeah.
And get up.
Amen.
And rise up when he calls you. Get to stepping.
Yeah.
Start stepping. Start moving towards your promise.
Yeah.
Pray that God will heal you and deliver you and forgive you and bless you. Start to step. When the altar call is made, start to step and move out of my way. That's what the man God rose up. He picked up his bed and he walked. Notice, he had to start stepping, moving over people that were still in the same condition. Some of them were there when he got there. Some of them were lying there withered, and he went to stepping, saying, excuse me, I gotta go. I've been healed. I've been delivered. I've been set free. Excuse me. Pardon me. And where was he found afterwards? Verse 16:17. Jesus found him in the temple. He went to the church house. Some of us, the reason I'm coming for you in the Holy. Some of you have been praying and asking God for stuff, and God's not going to do it because you're going to leave the church. You're going to tatter your relationship with, oh, God bless me, give me more. You're not doing anything with what God has given you already right now. He will never trust you with more than what he's already given you if you can't prove to him that he can trust you with more. Some of us need to get some people to step in our way, because they're hindering you from getting to the place of mercy. He used to lay on that mat as we stand, but he carried that mat walking across 5 porches. That's a lot of people. And he's walking. People saw him. Oh, that's that one guy.
Yeah.
He's walking. Yeah, because Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He said, rise. One word, rise. That's powerful. One word, rise. I got 2 words for you. Get up.
Yeah.
I got 3 words for you. A lame situation. 2 words, no mas. I got 1 word for you. Jesus. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Would you lift your hands as they begin to sing? Would you get your hands up? Who's it gonna be? Who's gonna make the splash? There's a lot of room at this altar right here. I'll even let somebody take my spot right here. A lot of room. And guess what? There's a lot of mercy too. A lot of grace. A lot of favor. And I'll tell you something else. You don't even have to come to the front. Scripture says if two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But I dare some of you. Nah, you won't do it. But I triple dare you. What would happen if you just said, you know what? I'm getting up. I'm coming to the altar. I'm going to pretend it's the pool of Bethesda. You may be halt, you may be withered. It may take you a while to get up here. But a step of faith. He's here. He's waiting. Sleep apnea? Absolutely. Sin? Absolutely. Depression? Absolutely. Bankruptcy? Absolutely. Fear? Absolutely. He can do it all. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Marital issues? Absolutely. But it's not about what he can do for you. But it's about your response this morning. It's a responding in faith. I respond because of the word of the Lord says, I'm going to start stepping. I'm going to walk into my miracle. I'm going to walk into my blessing. My deliverance this morning. Trouble this morning. Who's going to be the one to receive it?